lovely to be here. Lovely to see everyone this evening. Thanks very much, Paul. Tireless efforts. If I move that light just a tiny little bit, is that okay? I can't remember where I was reading and I touched something and nearly the whole thing came down and shut me. So I ask now, just in case. It's a smaller crowd and sometimes I think it's a little bit more difficult. When my first collection came out, my editor asked me, had I my set ready? And I said, I do. And I wasn't quite sure what he was referring to when he said, have you your set ready? Sure, I had no set ready at all. And I wasn't entirely convinced that a set worked for every place that you read. And so I tend to go on, I suppose, the feel of a crowd and where I begin. So my children often say to me, did you stay on set tonight, Mum? You know, but I've been notorious for going a little bit off set. I might start with Black Sabbath. There was something absurd in the cold and the quiet, those mute hours of anger, how I thought I'd taught myself to quicken in the way a murmuration of starlings quickens, hastens to higher speeds of flight, seen in sepia or black against blue, a seamless of utter abandon, working an illusion or slate of suspense of having no air between one body and another, that no matter the number, when one changes direction, so do the others. The Danes call this sort sour. I was going to start with Rent, I suppose, coming into autumn. It's a lovely time of year. I almost prefer winter out of all seasons. There's, I suppose, that assumption that most poets adore spring, but winter would be more mine. There's that prettiness to autumn as well. Rent. Autumn, with its hands between knees and head bent, as if to listen for softened ticks that might rise from a wrist, or to something heard in distance, maybe news that a line will be delayed. And the rift, a sudden rent, in its cloudwork, as when a child throws a half-eaten apple and the bruised core is momentarily exposed like a gulf, the underbright that follows, as outside an awning when radiance floods but is blunted, making a reed of things only able for uncertainties. I have my error over. There is another hour, the next piece I'm going to read. The heart behind the poem is Jean Rhys, who's often been, I think, wrongly misinterpreted in many ways. Difficult women, I think it was David Plant who wrote about her. It had a terrible effect on her reputation. Cut to an echo. I'm going to read it without the typo in the book. Cut to an echo. Indistinct, night wearies itself into day, and dawn comes too with an early bruise, blacky yellow. A bird falters to redden its song, a snag of notes that can't lift. The scalded teapot brews, darkly and intensely hot. There is nothing to be done, not now. The kitchen and its workable parts have neared to a standstill. You must lift the cosy from the room's cold to your cup. You must pour yourself the hottest drop. A different country, this. No road home, but a road back, a place where you can put your head. It's all context, the heart of the matter, even if you're loath to name it. The sight and no sight of you, face behind your hands, cinched breath, a stone pillow wedged at your chest. The translator posted his version of events, an almost their account, a nearly but not quite. His words a framework for the woman who lived inside them, every image captured through a window. For all they said and didn't say, silhouettes on stone, on glass, on wood, the shadow that made a question of your mouth, the music heard from other rooms. Terrible timekeeper, so I need to be mindful of it. I'll read a few. Townlands is kind of the, I don't want to say it's the, it's just in the physical location of the collection, it's in the centre, but by no means is it a centrepiece, if you like. Townlands I have written in different parts, but I specifically left the names of townlands off, given the nature that the physical, there's always a blur. There's a dispute actually going on at the minute. I'm on the Sligo-Mayo border. I'm originally from Sligo, so I suppose there's an importance there. The other side of it is the boundary line that's going on now. It's been going on with the last 3 years. So townlands are, by their physical nature, they're meant to change. So I won't say too much else about it. If I read 4 or 5 parts of it, is that all right? Time-wise, I have 20 minutes.
You have at least another 25 minutes.
Okay. Townlands. It is windless or nearly. Now and again, there's a sift or a creak. Unsteady movements lift from the field's frame. Little lights blot the damped chalk skyline. The estuary horns. Its voice intense as it lows from a blind spot. Disagreed words are a harsh verse rising. Repeatedly turning to the river for more or less river. These narrow sweeps that widen, and widened sweeps that narrow, constant, consistent, all flux. Daylit and gaunt, the beech trees are beaded with rooks, thinned sentries, and the air triggered to still, cut gun metals inspected with sunlight. A reproach of shorebirds and the estuary, wind browse grass and water, the shore-edged pink house. There are the maybes, a mending of things blighted, stones not quite sunk, and window lights snuffed to dark. Porthole here, another there, like the simper of a hurt child's breath. A handshake of lambs run from hooked stars of barbed wire, and part moon dressed, the unassertive white branches of birch. Further out, blue islanded. Black green as the sea's floor. Day upturned, it has forgotten it was ever here. The river's slow work. Angles shelved and richly curved, quiet incandescent turns, grotto dark and unclear. We try to listen, or imagine we do, for the hum of a razor or a scale coming loose, for the feel of something, cold air perhaps, touching warm skin. But it's a chalked geometry, imprecisions of cloud and sky freighting darkness east, slowed trains of thought, lumbering space, strangely deep and miles from anywhere. And the river sounding with the sound of the road, older acoustics of breath and hoof. Nightfish with cold, as if scalded and salt rinsed. Moon in the vista, a small, hard fist. I moved from the top of the drive. There was an uphill road not far from here that was said to end in sky. I went for miles. Some hand or other signed this way or that, but the road kept churning away. Reason, the sadist said, brought you to this edge. The key sleeps. Moves to its own lulled time, a small boat lit with moon and wave. Streams fuller now run with the blundering cold, and plunged to the elbows, arthritic hedgerows plead for tonics. A smoke of citrus green rubs stark from the trees. I meet your spring self, transient as a flower from a hemlock. Now I suppose we can move to the more humorous, my children. They're not here, normally one or two of them are here. And it's usually the time that I suppose there's payback and I can embarrass them a small bit. But The next poem is for my daughter, Evelyn. However, it needn't be... It's not necessarily a poem written for a child, if you like. It can be open to interpretations. 3 7s. East. Late spring in Malmo and our rain-tattered lives, yellows and blues appear in kind and lift the flatter land. From the balcony, we watch sleep-nooked birds in the highest point of the lindens, and the woman who must descend flights to stand out of doors to smoke. More often than not, I hear you humming. I'm not oblivious to your thoughts. West. A parade of bicycles, the backcloth of sea and red tiles. Beyond courtyards, we enclose ourselves to smaller, secure rooms, alive to what might be movement. Still walls in portraiture and landscape. Footfall and weather occasion to intrude. Cross currents of words float. We imagine interiors against our own, darker spaces we don't yet know. The train stalled. The queue has amassed to a crowd. I know you want me to inquire, yet I know you know that we're okay to wait. The sea is fog-choked and the bridge, sun behind cloud, efforts to press on. You stare through the carriage glass and steel and the absence of being moved, or what I think is the absence of being moved. Thanks very much.